Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, just take turns saying your name and your role with the show.
My name's Chani Worley, and I play Audrey.
And my name is Derek Trudy Jr., and I am playing the role of Seymour.
Ah, feed me, Seymour.
Yeah, exactly.
And this is Little Shop of Horrors. It's going to be at the historic Ford's Theater in Washington, D.C. It's going to run March 15th through May 18th. So several months to see it. But get your tickets now. Don't wait, because you might want to see it multiple times. hey, remind if some of our listeners maybe missed the musical or the movie, remind someone, take the basic premise really quick. Lay out the log line, if you will.
So basically, the premise of the show is that this plant from outer space comes down and starts to wreak havoc on this small community and targets this one lonely guy named Seymour. And Seymour's like, wow, this cool plant. And the plant's like, I'm going to help you get everything you want, but you have to kill people. Spoiler alert. And so Seymour's like, oh, I don't know how I feel about that. But you know what? Sure, let's kill some people. So Seymour kills some people because he's in love with this girl, me, Audrey, because I'm perfect and beautiful. And then, like, chaos ensues. Everyone gets murdered. He's successful for a little bit, and then bad things start to happen. And then, do you want me to spoil the end? Because I will.
No, you don't. You don't have to. But tell me why it's what's so fun. I want to know for each of you, do a deep dive on each of your characters too. What's so fun playing Audrey? And then I would love to get Seymour in here too.
Yeah. So, I love Audrey. I grew up with the show. I watched the movie all the time growing up. So Audrey's always been very near and dear to my heart. Like, never thought I'd play her. Very shocking when I booked this. It's very, very cool. But she's just like, we keep saying that she's just like a good egg. She's like all the best things in the world and of humanity in this one person. And that's really hard because, like, it's a challenge. That's like, I can be kind of a grumpy cat person. And she's just like, so Audrey's just so sweet and kind and loving and supportive and like asks no questions, and she's truly just like the best person ever. I think she's just like so great to a fault almost. And it's teaching me a lot about like how to be a better person, I guess, and how to approach things and how to like talk to people and be in a room. And it's just been very fun because she's so sweet. And like, I'm learning a lot about who I want to be through her. I guess.
Awesome. All right, Derek, jump in here.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So again, I'm playing the role of Seymour in Little Shop of Horrors. And what I think is really interesting about this role is that if you're familiar with the story, you know that basically not a lot of good comes his way. But throughout the story, you see him get more opportunities and, you know, fall into some pretty heavy bad things that most of us would not condone in real life. But what's interesting about playing it is that if you don't care about Seymour, and if you don't at least kind of understand why or the motivation behind what he's doing, then you don't really buy into the story. So that's been the most challenging and the most thrilling part about playing this role, in that while this person is doing some pretty crazy things, kind of making sense of it all and trying to find the heart behind why those things are happening, has been the most exciting. And there are many different iterations of Audrey that we have of Audrey 2 that we have in our story. And the puppeteering and all the things that we have going on in the show are so much fun, requiring a lot of like dexterity and things like that. But it's an amazing challenge. And I feel like everybody is just rising to the occasion so well.
Oh yeah. And the, you know, the puppetry and all of that, it's the legacy of Frank Oz, who directed the 86 film. Well, I mean, I guess it was originally a Roger Corman movie back in like 1960, and then it became a Broadway musical in the early 80s. But what I was going to say was the 86 film, which I'm sure the one that you grew up watching, was Frank Oz. And he did, Yoda. He was Yoda in Star Wars and like a bunch of the, like, you know, Muppets and Miss Piggy and Fozzie Bear and all that, Cookie Monster and Grover on Sesame Street. Like, the legacy goes on and on and on. So do you feel a nice responsibility to carry on the legacy of the great Frank Oz?
Yeah, I mean, you know, what's interesting about this is that I'm sure that you're familiar with this as well, but this musical is it's done pretty heavily throughout most of the theater companies in America. Everybody really loves this story, but what I'm finding interesting about our iteration is that we have never really seen an Audrey and a Seymour that do not typically fall into the tropes that we already see in the movie. You know, I myself am a Black identifying male actor. I've never really seen that in that history and those elements portrayed within this role. And so what I'm finding interesting is that, you know, we are bringing, both Johnny and I are bringing our whole selves to the musical and are able to incorporate things that are specific to us in the role. So while we are trying to honor all of what was done before us, what's interesting is that if people come out to our show, they will see different bodies, different ethnicities, and how that reflects into our storytelling.
I love that too. Thanks for mentioning that, because Ford's Theater has really been trying to, you know, plug diversity in all of its roles and all of its shows, which it's kind of fitting for the theater space. You know, Lincoln assassinated there. You know, it's kind of, to me, it's the ultimate revenge on the outdated John Wilkes Booth ideologies.
Taking a story that we're also familiar with and trying to see, you know, what the community that we're putting the show on for actually looks like and how that's reflected onto the stage is something that Kevin, our director, Kevin McAllister, was something that he really wanted to charge within the words that were written so long ago, you know, and kind of seeing how all that reflects. And I think I can confidently speak for both of us, but Chani and I have had such a great time discovering who we are through these words and making that all come to life.
Yeah.
I
It's funny
love
when you asked that question, my first response was like, no. Because the thing is, I love the movie, and I think that what Frank Oz created is so special in and of itself, and it was so of the time. And I think obviously we have to honor always what comes before us and to acknowledge that, but there is something to be said about like holding that and saying what works for us, what doesn't work for us, and also acknowledging that it's like that is a legacy that wasn't created for people like us. And so it's fine to honor it and acknowledge it, but like we don't have to internalize that and take it as like rote, because it wasn't made for us. Like this role was not made for someone who looks like me. This role was not made for someone who looks like Derek. You can't see it, but Derek's this like ginormous man. And he, like we're all on stage looking up a foot at Derek. Even in heels, I'm like, hey. And it's, you know, I think it's such a special piece. And when you watch the movie, you're like, this cast, this piece, the way they've changed it for the movie, it's so special. And like what Derek was saying, that happens with every single different theater production. And they take bits that work for them, and they take things that speak to them, and they leave what does not work for them. And I think a lot of what we're doing is like in honor of what, like we have like the puppets that we have were, I think, part in the off-Broadway production that's currently running, and they're using Marker the pup. He's amazing. And so they look kind like classic almost, and then you have it in this new, and the set is stunning. And you have this community that like you don't get to see on stage, that like I know, like if I growing up, like if I had seen the people on stage that are gonna be on stage in this show, I would have been like, whoa, I really never thought that was a thing that could happen. Which is,
Impossibility.
yeah, and it's opening possibilities for people to honor like what we're doing and do the same thing what we're doing with Frank Oz and all that stuff, is to say that that works for me, that's amazing, and then take what works for them and bring it on to the next generation and then throughout their journeys through life. And I think that's what artists do.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love it, and thank God for updated versions of everything and putting your own spin on it, because yeah, it's more reflective of a wider group of the audience that can come watch it. Hey, before we run, it is a musical. Yeah, we have let's dish on some of the musical numbers. So Alan Menken and Howard Ashman, you know, wrote so many of those great Disney themes and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But this was before the whole Disney Renaissance there of the late 80s and 90s. But yeah, remind us some of your favorite numbers. If people come out to this, what are some of the songs that they're going to hear that, you know, that the two of you really enjoy watching or performing night in, night out?
Well, I mean, so many of the songs are favorites of mine and have been favorites of mine for the longest time. I first want to say that, like, the biggest honor just in general is getting a chance to sing with Chani. I don't know if you've ever seen her around the DC area, but her voice is incredible. She's an incredible actor. So, like, just doing that by itself is already an honor. But getting a chance to do, like, our duet, Suddenly Seymour, is always, like, a soft spot for me, because the lyrics are so beautiful and the way that we're trying to portray the story and, you know, just Alan Menken's, you know, setting for everything is just so beautiful. But then also the patter songs that we have throughout the piece, you know, like the dentist piece between Seymour and the dentist, and then Coast Renovation. Those are all so much fun. So yeah, I mean, it's definitely a challenge, but man, I love this music.
I'm laughing because we keep running it and none of us are remembering any of the words. And Kevin keeps going, this Coast Renovation, this is the song they're gonna remember. And every time I'm like, Kevin, what are the words that I remember?
Oh, well, do each of you, I hate to put you on the spot, but do each of you have a favorite number in the show?
Favorite number.
It's tough, right?
I mean, the thing is that, like, probably it would be one that I'm not in. Like, since I've always loved Feed Me, everything around, it's so good. And I think it's so funny what so many of the things that you're doing, it's just comedy at its best. But I think probably, honestly, don't look at me funny, but I think my favorite that I've seen that I get to watch every day is probably Growth for Me, because it's so cute. You don't even know. I'm like sitting in the corner, I'm going, oh my God, like literally a stake through my heart. Oh my goodness. It's
Which
so
one did you say? Grow for Me?
Grow for me. Because it's like, you know, I've given you sunlight, I've given you dinner. It's so cute and it's so funny, and all the comedic bits are just so perfect. And it's so sweet and tender and like not what you expect when you see the song. Because I think of like the Rick Moranis where he's like, oh my God, Audrey, please grow for me. And Derek is just like, please, will you please grow for me, please, please. And I'm like, you're so cute. It's so, it's adorable. It's adorable every time you finish that song and you go, grow for me. And I go, oh, it's so cute. It's so cute. It's so good.
Oh man.
How about you, Derek? Do you have a favorite number? And it can be one that you sing or one, you know, that you watch from the wings or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, like, selfishly, I love all the times that we get a chance to sing with other people and like Audrey and I's duet. But I think my, like, the biggest bop is the opening with the urchins. I love the way they sing it. I love the writing. I love just everything about it. Yeah, it's just like a little earworm. It just gets stuck in my head.
Earworms in the Venus flytrap. Worms,
right,
plants.
Right, exactly.
Like, careful, yeah. They're gonna be down in the soil. There's some
lots of different
there.
Types of life here on Skid Row.
Well, thanks for bringing it back to life at the at Ford's Theater. Anything else before we run? Like, I mean, I have plenty to work with, but I always like to end like pretend that I'm not even here and you're speaking directly to our listeners. You know, maybe they're in the car or metro listening, whatever, and say, yo, hey, DC, DMV, come on out. You're gonna have a good time.
Yeah. I mean, if I could speak to the DMV area, I would just say you do not want to miss this show. We have some of the best singing, some of the best acting, some of the best dancing, some of the best storytelling that you're going to catch in this area. Of course, it's a story that you're familiar with, but the way that we're telling it and the way that we're bringing it to you all is going to be a reflection of not only regular life, but the fabulousness that you love from the movie and the musical. So please, please, please make sure you come out, get your tickets early, and come back and see us.
Did you prepare that statement?
No, that was all off the top of my tongue.
I literally was just like, I know my mom, I'm from here, so I grew up listening to WTOP News. I was just gonna be like, hey mom, I know you're listening in the car, what's up? And that was me. That's all I got.
Hi, Johnny's mom.
That was pretty one of the best, you know, off the top of the dome, just ripping it. But actually, let me, that's funny you mentioned that. So, all right. So growing up listening to WTOP, could you have never imagined playing Audrey in this role? But yeah, like what high school did you, you know, I'd love to know what, you know, the local hometown hero kind of story.
So I went to Wayside Elementary School, and then I transferred to the Gifted and Talented program, which tells you a lot about who I am today, at Cold Spring, Maryland. And then I went to Herbert Hoover Middle School, and then I went to Churchill, Winston Churchill High School. I was a Bulldog. I don't know why I said Bulldog like that, but like we grew up, I mean, I just remember like going to my mom's, like her, she used to work in Georgetown. My dad worked in College Park at University of Maryland. And so whenever I would go to work with them, we would just be like, they refused to listen to CDs. And all we had was the news. And it was like Traffic and Mother Together on the 8s. And literally, I listened to the radio all the time growing up. And my mom was a radio DJ, actually. She used to do radio as well. I think radio is cool. I think everyone should listen to the radio, frankly. Why curate what, like, everything that you have when you can, like, be introduced to something absolutely weird and listen to strangers on the internet? Uh-huh. It's like podcasts, but, like, better.
Exactly. Well, and Derek, where did you grow up, too? Is there a local connection with you, too?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was born and raised in Salisbury, Maryland, but then I moved up to the Rockville, Gaithersburg, Germantown area when I was about 5. So I've been in the area for a long time. I went to Northwest High School.
Wait a minute. Northwest High School, as in what you formerly Seneca Valley split off and formed the new school?
Absolutely.
Wait, what year were you? Because we this is now I'm gonna cue Bruce Springsteen's glory days, but my senior year of high school, I went to Linganore. We're up in Frederick County. We beat Northwest. We beat your guys in the semifinals to go to states, and we lost to Seneca.
I actually don't want to talk about that. No, I'm joking.
No, but seriously, what year? Because I want to know. I played some college ball with some guys that went to Northwest.
No, I graduated 2011.
Ah, okay. They would have been long gone. Yeah. All right. Well, it was worth a shot.
Yeah. I'm actually trying to get Northwest Drama to come out to see the show because the theater roots run deep with that school. Yeah. A lot of us are actually working professionally. So I don't know if you know some of these other people, but Justine Morrell, who works here a lot, I went to high school with her. And then Inez Nacera, we went to school together. She was in The Wiz here at Ford a few years ago. She played Dorothy.
Cool. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Local theater repping. Ford's Theater.
The Roots Run Deep.
And I assume just final seconds that did both of you ever go, I would love if there's like a good childhood or teenage story that of coming, you know, watching a show at Ford's and now you're starring there. So, you know, like it's gotta be pretty cool. A place you grew up going. Hopefully I don't know. Did you?
yeah, absolutely. So there was during the summer. This was not as a child, but one of the summers I came up to Ford's and I saw Parade. And I really am a huge fan of that show. But I saw this very tall, dark-skinned man start singing Rumbling and a-Rolling. And I was like, wow, what a beautiful voice. I've never heard like this kind of voice on, you know, like a theatrical stage where it sounded so polished, so clean, but so full of heart. That very man is our director today for Little Shop of Horrors. And it was Kevin McAllister.
Whoa,
and,
you know, no way.
Yeah. And so I actually met him that day. He does not remember this, but I met him that day and I said, hi, my name is Derek and I think you're awesome. And he was like, thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Yeah. So it's just funny now, all these years later, now we're working together and I've been friends and working colleagues for several years now. So it's just, you know, very interesting that, you know, it's full circle in that way.
That's great. Yeah, we've had Kevin on a couple times. I don't know. What was it? Was it Olney Theater or was it Roundhouse? I can't remember which. Maybe Roundhouse. Either way, Kevin's great.
He's definitely all over the city. He's a city favorite.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, I have more than enough to work with. So thank you so much for doing this, everybody. Again, it is The Little Shop of Horrors. It's going to be at Ford's Theater March 15th through May 18th. So everybody get your tickets. But no, don't feed the plants, right? We should tell them in closing, don't feed the plants.
Don't be feeding those plants.
Don't feed them.
Don't feed them. It's dangerous. They'll eat you. Bad things will happen. Chaos will ensue.
Yeah. Awesome. Hey, thanks for doing this. This was fun.
Thank you. Have a good one.